You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Chris, you need get on your mic. Chris, turn your mic on. Can you do the intro?
Chris said, absolutely not. You will not catch me.
I don't know. I'm sure he said what's up before. Get out of here, Chris.
What's up? What's up? What is this, Arsenio Hall?
Well, that's what we've been missing. He should have been doing that.
What's up?
Hey, y'all. What it do? It's ATL in the building. Princess Emery, mine on the ones and twos.
Yes. There's also a dog.
You know, I love a good roof roof.
I love a good roof roof.
Okay, that's now remind me what he say now. Now I'm supposed to say,
I thought that was it.
No, but then,
that was cute.
The official part.
That was good.
This is off book.
I'm going to use that.
Sponsored by Broadway Black. There
you go. Get ready to hit your mark.
There we go.
Yes.
Community.
We love to see it.
Community.
When Captain Lightskin's away, I don't know what the fuck to do, so.
Yes. I mean, and he deserves to be away right now.
Yes.
Just to chill.
Captain Lightskin is taking a light-skin day off, doing whatever light-skin niggas do on their day off. They get mani-pedis. Drink celery juice. What else do light-skin niggas do?
Talk about their feelings. Gaslight people.
Take lots of selfies with puckered lips.
Puckered lips, very much.
Mm-hmm. Squinted eyes.
They get their brows waxed. Mm-hmm. What else they do? They go to brunch.
Yes, they do.
Light-skinned niggas
boots.
Love brunch. What else do they do?
It's the truth about us light-skinned.
They probably play John B. and like other light-skinned nigga music.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Drake.
They do love
in the fillings. Very that.
Are we using the gender neutral for niggas? Are we using just like niggas as like negative?
How do you? It's Donye.
It's always been gender neutral for me.
Okay, yes.
Gender neutral. Okay, then I will include myself and talk about the things that I do that are light skin nigga shit.
Light skin nigga shit.
I love all my niggas. Be very clear.
Okay, yes. Good night.
You already know.
I love it.
Okay, can we introduce ourselves?
That was funny, Chris. Chris
got into
it. I got Chris on that one.
Oh my God.
You already know.
I love it.
Chris.
And that's actually from Big Frida, Queen Diva.
One more time.
Shout out. You already know. Come through.
Good things coming
through. Give you a good old bounce. You know.
That good old bounce,
you know.
Baby. Yes, God.
I'm going to see. I have to keep going. Donye, introduce yourself.
I'm looking at the roof, though. There is some delicious melanin happening.
Stop, I mean, listen.
This is the dark season for the light-skinned folks. We're fading away.
Like, the dark season for the light-skinned folks.
Send us your love and prayers. Like, we're in dark times. But I'm just so inspired, like, by all this chocolate. I'm like, oh, yes, Ghirardelli of it all.
It's hilarious.
And you know what I forgot? We forgot to do after it said, get ready to hit our marks. We're supposed to introduce ourselves.
I kept saying it. Y'all was so loud. I said,
can we introduce ourselves?
Barking, and you already knowing.
To introduce yourself.
Who are you?
I am Donye R. Love.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, she got right into her
voice.
Yeah,
she did. She dropped. Yes.
No. Let me drop.
Come through.
Too much. Yes. I am Princess Ambre Mon.
Yes, and we have a guest.
And our guest. We need, what we got? Claps, applause.
We got, we got a Funk Master Flex opening. Mom.
Ooh, oh, hey. Come through.
Oh. Introduce yourself. You just exploded.
Hey, y'all. Field Stewart, they, them, she, her, the most basic bitch to come on this podcast.
I
but
can't.
Hey,
I'm
happy to be here.
I think we need another bomb.
And I love how you said you such a basic bitch. I always say I'm so basic, y'all. I mean, as basic as they come.
But listen, if I'm coming on a podcast sponsored by Broadway Black, I am definitely the most basic of the guests y'all have had on.
You know, truthfully. We probably had some more basic hoes on.
I could appreciate that. Thank you.
Probably.
I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. That was no shade.
Lie to my light skin ego. Lie to my light skin.
That's called affirmation.
No shade.
Yeah, and truth.
You are not the most basic.
And truth. And so that the folks can determine if you aren't basic.
Okay.
Because I don't think you are.
Oh,
but why don't
that.
You share a little about yourself? Let the people know.
Ooh, okay. So my number one love, I have a lot of different, I've basically three different platforms for my work. The first is as a performer, which is my number one love. I went to musical theater school or whatever, you know, got my little degree from these white people and was super traumatized by them. And so I was like, ooh, I better recover and like do soul work.
Wow.
So I had a therapist. And then so that's my number one love is as a performer. And the second platform I think is the one that I build for other people to stand on as a teaching artist, as a community organizer. And that comes through my work. Right now I am the founder of the Okra Project, which is an organization that hires Black trans chefs to cook for Black trans people in their homes. And we say Black and trans specifically because we ain't on that POC shit. No offense to, but when we say Black, we mean Black. And then the third platform is like sort of as a director, a writer, and a choreographer. I'm currently working on a musical with two little favorite whites, Jonathan Brielle and Jeff Calhoun. And working on a musical about a lost intersex trans woman in the musical theater canon that not many people know or talk about.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And so how long has that been kind of in development?
We have gone to Goodspeed twice to kind of, the first time was just literally we had like 2 weeks before we went to Goodspeed. We all met. It was me, Sam Salmond, Jeff, Jonathan Brielle, and Jeff. And we all went to Goodspeed together. Like, we basically like met in a diner and we were like, we want to tell this story. And I was like, I mean, okay, if I'm going to tell this story, then I need to have like a Black trans woman who's going to be a necessary, vital, and real part of this story that's not about trauma, but about her joy and her living and her surviving and her being like a model. And they were like, okay, cool. So I was like, all right, bet. Well, sure. I'll see what happens. And so we went to Goodspeed, spent 2 weeks there, and then the next year we came back with like most of the with the first act like written with most of it like written and then finished it this year, and now kind of we're going to be starting to go into like we had our first reading and now we're going to be going into like going into like to the 29-hour readings, the workshops, all of that. So that's where we're kind of starting off.
Doing the work,
girl, a complicated woman. So
go
make sure
off.
You keep an eye out for it.
I would love to, if you don't mind. I remember over the summer you shook the theater table a little bit.
I did a
with
little
a
bit. I did.
Would you mind sharing, or is that
no? I'm absolutely happy to. So I was hired as the inaugural community outreach coordinator for Atlantic Theater Company. I've for about a year and a half now, I've been doing audience engagement work, community development work, kind of Chi-Chi's work is sort of like I get compared to Chi-Chi a lot.
Okay.
And sort of in as far as doing like audience and community development work. And so this was kind of the next step for me as far as like actually doing my work with a theater and really like investing that kind of time and energy. And this was their inaugural program. I was there for a very short period of time, but essentially the reason I left was because there was a play that was in their season that I was reading and my job was to kind of, you know, bring audiences in that had not been, you know, that had the theater had not seen before. And the play used just had a character called Trans Nancy. Since then the character's name has changed, but the character was called Trans Nancy. The character was referred to as a faggot with a dick. The character was referred to, or nigga with a dick, a faggot with a dick, all of that. The character was told that, you know, if she wanted to seek like safety and refuge in a housing facility that she needed to cut her dick off because it was for women. And just like all of these incredibly like violent narratives.
This show was written by
a cis man.
Got it.
A cis white passing man.
Understood.
And so I raised concerns about it and was like, this is not a thing that I can be, I cannot promote this show in community. One, not only would it not be effective for y'all, my name would no longer mean anything, and my name means everything to me. So I'm not going to like put my name on this if I can't support it. A lot of things happened in between that, but essentially the result was that the artistic director and the managing director, or what the equivalent of the executive director in my mind, just told me that, that they would not entertain this conversation any further. Wow. They supported the artist 150%. And in every way I was gaslit and like told that, you know, oh, well, we're not telling you that you need to shut up. We just don't want to hear anything more about this. And I was like, so you're not saying the words shut up, but you are still...
That's the implication.
And so I sat in front of that white man and told him, you know, very clearly, I said, this is how institutional racism and transphobia repeats itself over and over again. This is like you are currently participating in the cycle of silencing a black woman because we as black women come forward. We say this is fucked up. You pretend to hear us. You shut us down institutionally. And then either we quit or are fired. And then I was told that I needed to review my job description. And so since then, Atlantic has found a new position. And that person is a fairly light-skinned Puerto Rican man. Or I think Puerto Rican, I'm not sure. A Latinx man. And so that's kind of like how, and like that fits in completely with the narrative of like the play that I was interrogating. Ironically, the playwright himself actually reached out to me I posted about this after quitting. And the playwright reached out to me and like has since like hired me to come on and like consult for the piece.
Damn.
So it's like,
what you looking at?
But the whole thing, right, was that I was told that like they were supporting the artist 150%, and so they would not let me meet with this person. So I had asked, like, can you at least let the playwright know that I have an issue? Can you let them know that something is going on? They told me no. And then the night that they told me that, the night before I quit, when I had said, I just need to know this is going to go somewhere, they actually did reach out to him and told him that I was, and I have all of this on, like, I have him telling me this all on, like, you know, recording, so, you know, but like literally told him that I was really coming at it from like a very angry point of view.
Of course.
And so they didn't want like to expose him to me. So they would have a conversation with me first and work that out.
And then
we would like revisit it. Then the next day told me that they didn't want to hear anything further about
this. I'm so tired of
I'm sleeping.
You know, so I think I think that that for me has informed a lot of my, one has been just incredibly traumatic and sort of like been a reminder of like, ooh, this is like why, it's so ironic because I think that I do so much advocacy work talking about, the necessity of protecting performers and our right to stories. But I think that this experience kind of made me realize that like, you know, while, it's a reminder for me of, you know, the fact that we are often told that the way to solve these issues, the way to do this work is to solve it from the inside, is to go in and solve there. And it just doesn't work when institutions aren't ready for you. There are some institutions that I believe are ready for that work and are hungry for it. And I know the difference. Like, because it's not like, listen, I was raised by white people. I have met my white quota. I know what that is, you know. It's not that I can't work with white people. It's that if you are going to tell me, if you were going to refuse to let me do my job, there's no point in me moving forward with this organization or institution. And so I'm just at a place in my life where I can say, no, I don't really need to do that. And, you know, now she's booked and signing NDAs. So, you know, she good.
She good.
She good. She I'm good. Not worried. I'm not concerned.
Yes. Well, I thank you, one, for using your voice, right? And like your thank advocacy you. And speaking up. And then I also thank you for understanding how important you are at the end of the day and saying, I have to remove myself from this. Because some people would still be in that and not like, should I stay? Should I go? I don't know. And you said at the end of the day, like, this, my well-being is the most important right now, and I'm not able to be here because it's toxic. So I thank you for both of those.
Thank you.
Because that shit is unhealthy. And then we be at home, can't sleep, can't eat. White people sleeping good,
okay,
eating veal chops.
Exactly.
Okay. We the ones, edges gone, sanity gone.
Well, and had I stayed there much longer, you know that I would have been on every social media post. You know that I would have been at the front and center of like, oh, we have this little black trans girl
exploiting.
And it's like, no, that's not.
That's not.
I'm not your mule. I'm not your token. I'm not your thing that you take out at every little picture. No, that's not me.
All these white people.
You already know.
Yeah.
that we don't get down like that.
Chris, okay? I think one day we need to record him just doing that so that can be a button that you just press.
Here we go. Okay. One, two. You already know.
I am so dead. The way you counted yourself off.
You really
because
did.
Because I
you
had
really
to help.
Did.
You
so are
so people
ready.
Know.
Help me. Thank
Let's
you.
Go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Danye, how was your week?
My week has been very great.
Uh-huh.
I got to chill the like very first 2 days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
No, I actually was back home in Philly. Cause so what I do whenever I start rehearsals for a show, I go back home to Philly.
I love that.
To be with my people. Because I know that the work is going to get real. So I want to go back and be with my core to remind myself of what that core is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was home and then I came back here. And Wednesday we started rehearsals for my new play,
hey.
One and Two.
Now, and where is that play at?
That play is through the new group, yes. And it will be at Signature Theater on 42nd Street.
Uh-huh. What are those dates? What are those dates? Give us those dates.
Our first performance is November the 19th.
Yes.
And we go all the way till June. Not June.
That's a goddamn. You on
run.
Yes, we are.
June. Y'all, I'm speaking into existence.
Yes,
God. Manifest
the first performances
June.
Are November the 19th, and we go until January the 12th.
Okay.
All right. And
a healthy word. That's still healthy.
That's very healthy. And we have a discount code because we love a good discount
code. Don't we love?
We do.
Okay. And the discount.
Y'all, Chris over here. Chris over here got a little. Okay. He got tricks, tools, and games.
The discount code is TIX25. TIX25.
Awesome.
To get your $25 ticket.
Awesome. And now is that $25 through the entire run?
$25 from November 19th
mm-hmm.
until December 1st.
Okay.
And there's another code. Once I figure it out, I will let you motherfuckers know.
Thank you.
But yeah, so it has been a very beautiful week. My actors, Leland Fowler, Jamil Dobson, Edward Morere are all absolutely amazing. They're doing phenomenal work. We've mm-hmm. only been in like day 3 or 4. And my director is C.V. Walker-Webb, and he is a literal genius. Like, he approaches the work the way I approach the work, which is understanding that what we do as artists, especially theatrical artists, is spiritual work,
mm-hmm.
is ancestral work, is holistic work, and he approaches it from that framework. And so we've just already cultivated a space where it's incredible softness in the room. There is grace in the room. There's the divine in the room. And we are just ready to get it on and get it popping.
Awesome.
Hey, we love that. And yesterday in Chicago at the First Floor Theater, mm-hmm. My Place You're Gonna Wound, had their first performance. It was literally one of those like beautiful blessings where I was like, oh, I want to go see this show, but I can't see my show in Chicago because I'm rehearsing a show in New York.
Just say that again.
I can't go see my show in Chicago because mm-hmm. I'm rehearsing my show in New York.
Just right, first world problem.
The blessing. Come
just through. Bougie
the
bitch. Privilege problem.
I said, come on, God is God.
And hi. And God is good. Amen.
Yes, indeedy. So that has been my week.
Amen.
But your husband went, right?
Yes, Brandon went.
Hey, husband.
Holding it all the way down. And I actually haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet.
Oh, because you're so booked and blessed.
He's so booked and blessed. When I get home tonight.
We don't want to know. Okay.
Okay.
Moving on.
Hey.
Keep that to yourself.
Because you already know.
Moving right along. Ian, did you do anything lovely or see anything lovely this week?
I am currently performing in Of the Woman by Lily Houghton at Normal Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also directing a show at the same time called God's Necklace by Morgan McAnally, which is at Moxie Arts.
Give the people dates so they can see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of the Woman just extended. So you have until the 26th, I think that's next Saturday, to come see Of the Woman. For black folks who are going to be showing up, know that this is like a play, and this is fine for me to say, like, it is a play written by a white woman
mm-hmm.
that centers a lot of like white women issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my character, like, through my body and my being, in adds like layers that are interesting and adds like a point of view for us to access it. But I think it is important to name, like, you know, because like whiteness is very triggering. So like, just come with your coconut oil, soul, just like lathered up.
Understood.
And then God's Necklace is a piece about South Sudanese refugees that I am directing, and I'm really proud of it. It's coming out together really well. That show opens this Thursday and runs for the next 2 weeks after that. So I think that it's like, ooh, I think there's like, I think it goes into like the first week of November. Don't quote me on that, but I'll just look on my social media, y'all. It's at The Free Activist. I'll tell y'all that.
Yeah, and give us your social media so that people can look.
Yeah,
you know,
at The Free Activist. The as in THE, free as in what black people need to be, and then actor and activist put together, Activist.
Yes.
Love it.
And can you also tell the people about your week in terms of your nails?
Oh, because they are giving me what I need right now.
Bye.
Yes.
ASMR. And describe them.
So we're giving a very, you know, a nice little stiletto because I'm a black woman. Mm-hmm. And then a nice little lavender because for the show that I'm doing, the show of the woman is about four women who form a cult in the basement of a free people.
Love.
And so I thought that this gave, I thought this gave enough like fun, respectable white woman or like white aspiring woman that I was. And also check the toes match too.
Yeah.
Get into the toes.
You know, darling, you
custom
know,
girlfriend.
Sensible.
Yeah, so she keeps her nails done.
Sensible.
Very that.
Sensible.
That. Yes, also, I need to say it for the audience because I am a listener, and so I need to let y'all know this nigga has such a nigga lean.
She's talking about Chris. She's talking about Chris.
Such a nigga lean right now.
Chris stays on the nigga lean. Stays.
The nigga lean is just whoop,
always.
Right over there. I'm loving it.
Yes.
It's inspiring.
I can't.
Yes,
really
it's inspiring.
This. One day, we have to go live one day so there's people
we
can
need
just,
to.
Just
to
watch Chris. Not us. But just Chris.
They wouldn't give a fuck about us. They like, let me get into Chris.
Yes.
Hello.
Put the camera back on.
They
Chris.
Still in my DMs about Chris.
Okay.
Chris is taken, ladies. No. Leave him alone.
There you go.
Thank you.
Talk about your week.
What the hell did I do?
Miss Princess.
You don't have to look at my calendar when I talk because I don't remember what I had for breakfast. This week, Monday.
She's really looking at her calendar, y'all.
I am because I don't know one day from the next.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
My good friend Christian Dante White, shout out to him, had a lovely birthday concert at Green Room 42 that I didn't bully him into doing it, but he saw my one woman show last year and I was like, tag, you're it. And so I kind of forced him into doing his own one man concert situation. And it was a dream. He asked me to sing a song from Sunday in the Park with George called Move On. He was like, it's going to be a moment. Let's do it. And I was like, okay, oh God. And so I had been helping him put the show together, helping him put his band together, and kind of forgot that I also had to show up and, you know, put on a good shoe. So learned the song, ran it with him, and I was like, oh yeah, I think this is going to be a moment. And it was so beautiful.
Oh,
it was just so beautiful.
That.
I love anytime you get to make music with your friends and have a good time while you do it. Mm-hmm. It was such a moment. And I think sometimes we get in the habit of like do these concerts. It's always a concert. You always singing a song at a gala or doing something for somebody, and you don't always realize the impact it would have. And Sunday in the Park with George is, you know, typically a white people show written by a white ass man. And the number of young black college students who popped in my DMs like, thank you so much. A role that I've always wanted to play that nobody will let me play, but seeing you play it, you know, gave me hope and faith and, you know, fuck the white man. And it was so much of that in my inbox.
Amen.
That really brought joy to my spirit because we so get bogged down by this shit and the industry and the hierarchy of it all. But you always have to remember that there are kids out there who need you to keep doing the work, to keep pushing forward, to not give up and go back to Atlanta and work in a cubicle or go into dentistry. So thank you to everybody in my inbox and Christian's inbox because it was a beautiful night. His good girlfriend Bette Midler showed up. So to sing a good old song for Bette Midler.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Because he did Hello Dolly. Bette is his good girlfriend. And she came with David High Pierce and they just have a little booth on the side. And
well, there's always that.
I mean, just living.
There's
and,
always
and
just,
Beyonce.
You know,
okay,
he did a good Beyonce medley. I'm surprised Beyonce didn't show up. She should have been there. But it was a beautiful, beautiful fucking night. And congratulations to Christian Dante White because if you've ever had to do a one-woman, one one man, one anything by your damn self, that shit is hard.
Yes, it is.
And stressful, and you regret it every day until you do it. And yes, then you're still mad that you decided to do it.
Yes, you do.
But shout out to Christian Dante White, because you're awesome and I love you.
Shout out.
And then the only other thing I did was, oh yeah, it was announced, you know, on the thing that the pre-Broadway / Broadway transfer of Lempicka, directed by Tony Award winner Rachel Chavkin, that we are going to go to La Jolla and
yes,
do our
are.
Pre-Broadway.
Hey, hey. Yes, you are.
Eden Espinosa and I,
congratulations,
two women of the colors. The
two
rainbow,
women of the colors.
We'll be going to La Jolla in March, April, and hopefully be coming back to Broadway in the fall. So we had to do, oh my God, we had to do one of those events where I was literally the only black person in the entire room.
And so here's the gag. I was invited to that.
I wish
it was the first day of rehearsal.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh!
It was so funny, because you never know what these things are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, it was fucking beautiful, because it was a bunch of these art collectors who all had a bunch of Lempicka's art. So to see this woman's art is on display, mm-hmm. like the character I play, like I'm seeing her on the walls. It was gorgeous.
Wow.
And there was just that moment of everybody sat down and I stood up and I was like, okay.
That's how it be.
I mean, we're not even in the kitchen. Like, it's just white people.
That's actually get the fuck out.
Get
the fuck out.
I was telling Matt Gould, composer, I was like, it's so weird. I know I belong in this room, but there's always that feeling when you're in rooms like this where you kind of feel like you don't belong because no one else looks like you. And I immediately said, as a woman who is attached to this show, who knows that I will be doing this show for quite some time, I need to already start seeing how I can get more black people into the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to already start emailing the producers and saying, you know what I saw on Tuesday? I don't want to see that ever again.
Yes.
Like, I'm making that a part of my work to make sure that these rooms have more people that look like me in it, because that was just disgusting. And I love everybody, and I love the production team, and I love everyone, but we have to start now. Like, I can't wait until we're on Broadway to be like, so what's the discount code for the blacks? No, it's like from
right
jump.
Here, right now.
We need
we
to start because the creative team is diverse. The cast is extremely diverse, but then we have to do these events for fancy people who have money. And it's like, they're also people of color who have money. It's black people and Latinx people who have money. Like, let's get them in the rooms, because that's why these shows go to Broadway. And then there's no black people in the audience, or no people of color in the audience, because we don't advocate for them in the beginning from our marketing standpoint, from our outreach. Like, so that was a moment of like joy, because I know where my next job is coming from. And I, you know, I've worked hard to get this role, but
absolutely.
I'm also the only black girl in this room. So, yeah,
those moments scare the fuck out of
don't
me.
Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Scare me, frustrate me, drain me.
Honey.
All of
child.
That.
Shit. All of that. It.
It's okay.
Ooh.
We still here
and we going into a new week.
Aha, a new week.
Get it.
A new you. And so I guess maybe
a brand new day.
Maybe we should jump into a hot topic. Ooh, that was good. Can we go right there?
That was
good. Can we go to a hot topic?
Wait, right. You gotta,
can I switch it up? I thought I'd switch it up. Let's go into hot topics first.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
When the light skins away, the cats won't play.
I love the sound of my cat.
Danya. Okay, we had a couple hot topics this week. This was kind of a slow news week. Let's see. So first hot topic is MGM announced the cast for Respect.
The fuck they did.
The new Aretha movie. It's full of chocolate Broadway magic.
Directed by Lizzo Tommy.
First of all, we're starting off with Lizzo Tommy. Congratulations, because she is out here doing this shit.
She really is.
Let's just talk about how she out here doing this shit. Okay. Now, yes, they got a lot of fancy, you know, Forest Whitaker and Marlon Wayans. Congratulations to y'all. But let's talk about our people. We got Audrey McDonald.
Yes, we do.
Saquon Stainblow.
Yes, we do.
Haley Kilgore.
Yes, we do.
Titus Burgess.
Yes, we do.
Is that Heather Headley? I didn't even see her name before. Heather Headley.
Yes, God.
I mean, they did that right. They stacked
that
it down.
It blew my mind.
They stacked it down.
I said all of these theater motherfuckers is in this film.
Oh, and the little girl. I don't know. Let me find her name, because I have
come
to
on,
read that.
Come on, little girl.
It's the little girl. Wait. She's playing young Tina Turner in Tina on Broadway.
Come on, little black girl.
I just have to find her name so I can see it. Sky Dakota Turner.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's
this
chock
is
full.
Spectacular.
It is.
Loving it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I said everybody's names out loud, because that's really fucking amazing.
Now, can I ask a question? Because
yes.
I saw, okay, so I, when I saw this come out, I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking for Cynthia's name because she
that's
did that.
That's a different.
Is this another movie that she's doing?
So it's National Geographic is doing an Aretha moment. So it's a whole nother
thing. That's so true.
It's just two Arethas at the same time.
I forgot about that.
So, this movie is Jennifer Hudson.
Thank God.
Is playing Aretha. Well, oh, sorry. Ooh,
sorry.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I'm sorry. No. Wait. Whoa. Not saying that. What I was saying was I was like, the community, Black Twitter, the Negroes have for a very long time been saying Miss Jennifer Hudson
should and
we
will
require
right. And but before Aretha died, Aretha said it.
We know it's sealed.
It was signed, sealed, and delivered.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
We said what we said, and so when Cynthia had her moment, I said, wait a minute, because we have said
but,
what we said.
Because I don't know what that other one is. This is no shade to that. I just know I don't know what it is.
Listen, it's just. My good girl Cynthia can sing many things, and I love to hear her sing all of the things that she sings.
Good night.
However, Miss J. Hud, we have said what we said. So I'm glad to know
they heard what we said.
I'm glad they heard what we said.
Okay. Amen.
I just had to look it up. It's a TV series. National Geographic Channel has found its Queen of Soul for the next installment of its Genius anthology series. Mm-hmm. So Genius Aretha will feature her biggest recordings. And I guess it's just a TV series. About
Amber still look perplexed as she's reading it.
I don't know anything.
Wait, what is happening?
National Geographic.
Cynthia's National Geographic.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's doing like a series.
It's a TV series.
Wait, don't National Geographic do like Earth and shit?
Yeah, that's why I'm confused because I was like, that's why my face was confused.
Now listen, you know that they've been up in the Africa.
Yeah.
In the Africa taking pictures of the little black babies. Like,
What is happening?
National Geographic.
So I guess they do a genius series and they look at different geniuses.
Is it like scripted?
Okay. Last thing I will say regarding that. Is that...
So perplexed.
I'm Googling. Sorry, keep going.
Listen, Google away because we all require answers. But I think the thing that like is sort of sitting with me while my good girl Cynthia, once again, she sings the things and I love that she sings the things that she sings. I do have questions regarding, now are we just going to ignore all of the like Black American as well as like full figured Black women out there who are not like a size 2 and are like, I have questions. Now listen, my good girl Cynthia, once again, she can sing what she sings and I'm not gonna get out here getting shot by people by the Broadway Black community.
That won't happen.
But I do have some questions about like how we are casting our stories and our narratives.
They need to be asked. Casting based
backtrack.
No,
take
because
let the spirit
I don't
want to
say we are not casting based on talent. It's not that. I think our priority is not always what do they look like. You know what I mean?
No, it is very much about the box office. But I think I think the work that I'm very interested in doing is much more about like reclaiming theater and film and TV as an art form, as how like we need to be looking at the importance, because we have proved time and time again that when you make art that is specific, you bring in the audience that you're asking for. I think that too often we're kind of like doing these sort of like, okay, we're going to get these people who are going to bring these names who are going to bring it in. But then we're not actually looking at like what happens when we cast these bodies and these people.
Because it's white people and they don't care.
Now listen, once again, we as black people are so damn talented. We will make magic out of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that at some point we do need to be starting to have more and more conversations as we are like growing as the space that we take up grows, as we occupy more spaces that, you know, at all levels, right? Quote unquote, if we are to think of this as levels. But as we occupy more and more space and as we are more and more public, I think that it is important that we start talking about like, okay, so how many trans women have to say something before? So how many like fat black women have to say something before? How many dark skinned women have to say something before? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just seems to be happening. Like, I crave and desire freedom for my people and for all of our people. Mm-hmm. I do also crave freedom for all of our people mm-hmm. and not just the select few.
And mm-hmm. I think that's why we just have to create our own shit, because mm-hmm. also just true. To keep trying to convince white people that we are talented or worthy is just exhausting and it's unnecessary.
And it's a waste.
You know
of time.
What I mean? I've had this week for me, there was something I was attached to that I was on hold for and got released because I was the director's number one favorite pick, but the studio was like, she's not famous. Who is she? And it's like, there's so many people who get passed up for who, like, that's why people quit this business.
Yeah.
Because I'm not chasing fame, but it seems like in order to make money and work, I mm-hmm, have to be famous. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have to be concerned about the fame, even though that's not what I want, because if you won't give me the opportunity to get famous, how can I work? But I'm not chasing fame. So what the fuck do I do?
What do I do?
I keep doing good, honest work, but like, I can't get jobs because I'm not famous. It's the most fucking ridiculous, mm-hmm. stressful shit that I mean, like, literally this week I had one of those, like, I just can't do this no more moments. Mm-hmm. Because it's literally the one thing I have no control over.
Yeah.
How famous I am, I can't really control that unless I'm out here like Kim Kardashian or some hawking shit to be famous. But mm-hmm. that's not what I do. That's not who I am. That's not what I want. But I can't tell you how many times in the past year I have been there. Mm-hmm. The screen test, the we are just waiting on the studio to say yes.
Honey,
the,
mm-hmm.
We are, you are on hold. And they're like, you were the number one pick, but you just don't have a Tony nomination, or you just aren't a Tony winner, or you just aren't. That shit will make you want to kill people.
How else do I win a Tony?
How, I mean. Uh-huh. So it's just a time waiting game, but also create your own shit. Like, it's just, Billy Porter once said to me, you just gotta, your job mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. to not lose your mind while they figure this shit out.
Ooh.
And it's,
ooh,
like, that really is
that's
it. Like, I'm gonna be over here minding my business, creating my own shit, writing my own shit. And once y'all figure out I'm the hot shit that I've been all this time, I mean, congratulations and welcome. You're mm-hmm. late as fuck. But it's like, you just gotta mm-hmm. keep in your lane. Don't be letting these people sidetrack you mm-hmm. because this shit is like, ooh, y'all is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so interesting, right? Because we talk a lot about like staying in your lane and what does that look like, mm-hmm. as black folks specifically, when, you know, because there are like I hear the narrative like we need to create our own shit, but also I also hear the narrative of there like some black folks who are like, I don't have like a passion, talent, or desire
skill.
To do anything
You're absolutely
else.
Right.
And so I think that like expanding that, like, because like, now listen, I'm a multifaceted nigga. That's just mm-hmm. who I always have been. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, so I can write some shit. So I'm gonna write some shit, and mm-hmm. then people are like, oh, we like it. You know, it's like that's always been me. I've always been like, I never want to have to audition for like black dancer number four who fouettes and jumps and splits mm-hmm. and like shines mm-hmm. for white people. Like, I've never wanted to do that, and so I always wanted to have the choice to walk away. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, I knew that I had to like, I've made choices, like coming forward about Atlantic and continuing to come forward about it. I mean, like, I could never work at a big theater because of that. Mm-hmm. I cannot care about that because you have not paid me near enough to own my soul. You have not paid me near enough to own my soul.
Hello.
I am free. I am a free black woman. You will not take me. You mm-hmm. cannot take me.
Amen.
And so I think that through that, I think that also with that means for us, I think that is as we are making our own shit, right? And what that looks like, I think, is not just about like, you know, like creating, like writing or directing mm-hmm. or things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it also looks like, how are you enjoying your life? What are you doing that allows you to enjoy your mm-hmm. life outside of what you do? Mm-hmm. Because I think that is actually something that I'm trying to do a lot more work on recently, because I think that every year I have another revelation that it's like, oh, I'm such a workaholic that mm-hmm. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I do mm-hmm. when I'm by myself and mm-hmm. alone with myself.
Yep.
And so I think that part of our getting free is what are you doing that feeds your soul that is outside of what you do?
Because most people don't know who they are outside of mm-hmm. their gig.
And that mm-hmm. is how we are trained
yes,
to be.
Like, absolutely.
I didn't get a playwriting degree or anything like that, but I would also assume it's the same for playwrights, for anyone else who is not like a performer. It's mm-hmm. still that training of like, you have to be in this one particular lane. It's why people who are playwrights and actors or actors and mm-hmm. always have a harder time because people will be like, oh, so you've stopped acting, right? It's like, no. I was acting 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I'm just doing a project mm-hmm. right now.
It's just Tuesday. This is what I'm doing on Tuesday.
Exactly. Right. You know, it's like, but I think that's the thing, right? It's like, how are you feeding your soul outside of what you do?
Yeah.
Because I think that through that, it's that coconut oil on your soul. Mm-hmm. That means that you can go into this. If all you want to be is an is an actor, is a performer, I think that you have to put that coconut oil on your soul. You have to be, and you have to do that through taking care of yourself outside of what you do, yeah. so that when you go into the room, they never have you.
Yeah,
they can never have your soul.
Yeah.
They can tell you like how to jete, how to da 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 da, and you will do it because you're talented.
Yeah.
But you never have to give them your soul.
That's it.
Two things. Yes, and and with being able to cultivate a space for you, also, and I talk about this often, the power of community, right? And like how necessary it is for us to be able to see ourselves reflected in the people around us, and like what does that look like? If with what you're talking about, Amber, in terms of like creating things on your own, like if you don't write, if you don't direct, like who in your community does that, right?
Hello?
Like how can you all come together to do this thing?
Because
like,
the ones writing need people
exactly,
to say the words.
Like what does that look like to be able to have a community, right? That as you're doing the work to grow yourself, you're also having a community that's also doing similar work, and you can create some amazing ass work from that. That was the first thing. The second thing is the title for this episode is Coconut Oil for Your Soul.
Okay, write that down.
So there we go.
Write that down, Chris. I know you over there drinking liquor. What you doing? What is he doing?
I don't know.
Chris, what you looking for? Tater chips? He looking for something.
He looking such for a nigga. Nah, I'm looking for something.
Right, I'm looking for something. That is the fucking nigga anthem.
It
nah,
is.
I'm just looking for
something. Mm-hmm, that's fine.
Like,
he
that's
looking
not
for a bottle of Crown.
Question.
He looking for a bottle of Crown or hen or something. That's fine, Chris.
Like, I asked you a question,
that's
sir.
Fine, Chris.
That's not an answer.
That's fine. Uh-oh, never mind.
Wait a minute, Chris.
Whoa.
Yikes.
Well, thank you. He bringing out liquor.
Give us the art right now.
Uh-huh.
You already know.
Oh,
baby,
my God, y'all. That's the drinking game of tonight. Every time he say that shit, y'all take a shot of something.
Ooh, bring it out.
Okay, the other hot topic, you said that you were very excited about this, so I want you to talk about this, that after 25 years of visionary leadership of Juilliard's American Playwrights Program, Marsha Norman is announcing her retirement. First of all, can you stop that? She is announcing her retirement in May of 2020, and Tanya Barfield, a distinguished playwriting alumna and former literary manager of the division, will be joining in fall of 22. Talk to us about that, because you are very thrilled by that.
That's literally it. You said it all. So here's the thing. Marsha Norman has been one of the co-heads of the Juilliard Playwriting Department for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with her and Chris Durang.
Mm-hmm.
And then about maybe 3 years ago, Chris Durang stepped down, and David Lindsay Abair, who was absolutely amazing, took his place. And so the constant was... Marsha,
yes.
The overall constant was whiteness. The overall constant. No,
sorry,
this
that
is,
just brought me.
This is very real. The overall constant has been whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
So for any writer of color who came into this space, there was a high probability that the individuals who were the head of the table did not understand whatever the work was that this writer of color was creating.
Right.
And so I'm so excited because Tanya Barfield, being a black woman, is now being able to hold space.
Come in,
right?
That
in
thing.
A way that has not existed in 25 years for Juilliard's playwriting program.
That's amazing.
So it was long overdue.
Amen.
I am grateful that it is happening, and I am excited for every writer of color, especially black women, to come into that space and to see themselves reflected. Yes. Go the fuck off.
Go the fuck off.
Yes.
You went through their program, correct?
Yes, I did.
So can you talk to me, because I think this is a lot of work that I had to do when I kind of mentioned it, but when I first moved to like New York City, like I feel like, I mean, I know that you are sporting your Howard, you know. But do you feel, in moments like this, what are some of your feelings around it? Like, because I think that like I am personally having like going through an experience of not only looking back and seeing that like the institution that I was a part of for 4 years is now like much blacker than it ever was while I was there, but that it also now is like bringing in like black guest directors and black like alumni who are choreographing. And I think that for me, like they're like, I think that something that I'm like working on as a human being is not being resentful of that, but I think that is like, but I think like, you know, because it's like I've had moments where I had one moment where I like went back and I was in the area, and so like I like stopped by the school and I was resisting within myself the need to perform my own success because of how often I was told that I would be completely unsuccessful, and I had to remind myself, you know, this that my heart song, like my heart is, they do not own my heart. They mm-hmm. do not own my soul. So I don't owe them anything. I don't need to perform anything for them or to prove anything to them.
Yeah.
But like, do you feel any sense of like, I love that you're able, I guess like more, I'm just reacting to like how awesome I think it is that you're able to celebrate mm-hmm. a moment like this in its totality. Like, is there any sort of resentment or any sort of like, I wanted that to be there while I was there, why mm-hmm. wasn't it? Like, is any of that there for you, or are you just an amazing person? I may just be a bad person. I'm
no,
totally
no, 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 not at all. And so I had to do a lot of work of like navigating through the multiple trauma I experienced there. And I talked about it quite often on this show. And so I think if it was any resentment or like, damn, I wish, it was so small and it was so minute, because like now, I'm gonna just keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a place in my career where I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hello.
I'm good.
And we love to see it.
I started to get into a place in my career before I even got accepted into Juilliard. So while I was there, I knew that I was going to be good. Yes, it would have been amazing to see myself reflected in one of the heads of the program, but I didn't. I used my voice quite, not just on the page, but in the actual space to talk about how this is fucked up mm-hmm. and what is being done to change this. And it doesn't need to be me to change these things. It needs to be you to do things to change. And so with all that being said, now I really am in a space of absolute excitement. And I think about my second year there, one of the first years, a black woman playwright, Ebony Booth, was the first black woman playwright to be accepted at Juilliard in over like a 10 to 15 year period. That is ridiculous.
Damn. And see, I think that's the thing. That's why I have such a hard time. Like, I think that it's like I celebrate, but then there's always that moment like right underneath it whenever mm-hmm. I hear about like the first, mm-hmm. the first, mm-hmm. the first. And I'm like,
come on, y'all.
And then, but then it's like that. Then it's like, I'm like, okay, so let's roll back. Like, how many years has it been mm-hmm. that there has not been a one, mm-hmm. a single one? And often, I mean, quiet as it's kept, often when it's the first of color. Period. Yeah. I mean, it's usually the first. We are usually the first.
Uh-huh. That's real.
Hello. Yeah.
That's 100% real.
But usually, it's even the first of color,
period.
Even.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, there's this, I love this place that you're in, and I'm like soaking up that energy for myself and my mm-hmm. own heart and my own coconut oil,
that's
you know,
hard.
Just because I think that it is like how, it is just so hard to figure out how to release, how to like, release that trauma and just be excited for who is to come after. Because I think that while I was there, like, you know, I came back and everyone was like, oh mm-hmm. yeah, I think like, you know, like now students are like, all of a sudden there were all these students like talking about, you know, oh, I identify as, you know, gender mm-hmm. non-conforming and I use they them pronouns, and there was like, and they and literally the teachers were quoting me as like the person who started that for people there. And it's like, yeah, but while I was there, I had like y'all pulling me into meetings to say like, okay, so there's a rumor going on that you're starting transitioning. And I wasn't even, I had not even named my transness at that
mm-hmm.
point, you know? And so it was like, and so I think that there's like this, and so just that sense of like, there's such joy in celebrating the moment when it happens, and there's such responsibility that's suddenly placed on the shoulder mm-hmm. of this person who is the first, mm-hmm. who is like this new, who holds all of this now weight and mm-hmm. space for folks. And there's also this like real resentment, I think,
absolutely.
From like having gone through and never having had that, and how would our lives have been different? And obviously, you know, it's like, I'm not, like I said, I'm happy with where I'm at. I know I'm on my journey. Mm-hmm. I've got great representation. I've got great gigs lined up. Like, I know that I'm on my journey mm-hmm. and I feel confident about where I'm headed and what I'm going to do with it. But it is still, you know, you have those moments and you look back and you're like, damn, like, if only I had gone to a, like, how would my life have been different had I gone to a Howard?
Mm-hmm.
And even then, sometimes I wonder, it's like, had I gone to a Howard, would like my trans experience have been different? Mm-hmm. Like, how would I have been accepted in that space? Or how, like, not to point out your Howard, I just
no,
was like,
yeah.
It was right in front of me, so I need a reference, mm-hmm. you know? But like, it's just that sensation of like, damn, like,
What if?
I think there's a, I call it like a little bit of a Martin Luther King that we all have to kind of experience, those of us who are out here working for change, is that the work we do, we may never ever see the bit of the fruits of our labor. And that's like a part of it. Yeah. Exactly what
that's
you said. Like,
real.
We out here working, we may be dead before the shit actually happens. We may never get to see it. But that, like, that's kind of what we're here to do, is to get our hands dirty so that those who come behind us don't have to go through the same shit we did.
Absolutely.
We all, even at Howard, even other shit I've been through in my life, there's still a lot of fucking what ifs. Or like, I look back and like, oh, y'all got all this shit. Y'all got money. Y'all got venue. Mm-hmm. Y'all got facility. All kind of shit.
Yes, y'all got facility.
You know what I mean?
Hello?
They got grants and shit. The man who came to, did he come? Went to Morehouse and gave,
look
at them.
Oh,
look
Lord
at them kids. And
all
then,
that student debt,
and
gone.
Then he extended it, like, gone. A couple weeks ago, extended it to their parents' student loans and shit. Like,
ooh.
It, how many
now
people?
That would have been like,
listen.
Again.
Listen.
I don't know if I would have been out my say. I don't know if I would have been out my say with that. I'm going to keep it real.
Can you imagine?
I was like, no.
Like, how many people's faces are cracked?
Absolutely.
No, and but then imagine also if you were like 2018.
Oh yeah, like 1 year like before after.
What?
Bitch.
You said that. Listen,
or you had to like take a year off,
no.
And you should have been that year.
No.
Okay. Listen, class of 2020, they are rolling up. They're like, all right, so what you got? Who coming? Like,
and ain't nobody coming. And it's crickets and tumbleweeds because ain't
that
nobody coming.
Is the gag.
Nobody coming.
And then also, like, I'll have to say, like, what is your intention, right? Like, when you are in the space trying to cultivate change, like, what is your intention, right?
Yeah.
And I think both of what I'm about to say are very valid intentions. If your intention is to make the space better for you in that moment, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If your intention is to make the space better for those who comes after you, mm-hmm. absolutely. If your intention is better to make space better for both you and who comes after you, absolutely.
Yep.
I'll be 100% real. When I was there, like, being super exhausted and drained and felt like I was hitting wall after wall after wall, my intention was, I want to make this space better for who comes after me. Like, that was really my intention.
Yeah.
I didn't think about myself that much, and I think that was things that I had to navigate through and, like, really unpack and figure out why in that moment. But I know when I was there, I said, I want to make this space better for those who come after me. So I think that's another reason why I'm so excited and not filled with any negative emotions as much as I'm filled with the excitement of yes.
Mm-hmm.
I celebrate
yes.
that. I celebrate that.
Let's get it.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our time is a little bit on the limited side
yeah.
this week. So how do we want to kind of end this week? Do we? That listener letter was a little problematic for me. Only because I think I'm the only person who saw the show that was in the mm-hmm. listener letter, and I was not a fan of that show. So I don't know if I want that.
Well, can we end with the game?
Yes, we can certainly end with, you want to end with an I Said What I Said?
Let's end with I Said What I Said, and we can talk about the
We can talk about that.
All right. Off the air.
So,
you want no tea.
Come on now.
Okay, so I'm just going to say I reached back. I reached back for this. I have to do it. Like,
I'm nervous.
I said what I said. That was good, right? Okay.
Not. Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I felt it in my spirit.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I think I know I'm going to do this one. Okay.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
So this is a monologue from a show. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that I had to reach back. Because
I'm getting nervous.
I feel like Drew said the other day, like, I can't remember which shows we pulled monologues from. And I can't, because I feel like we do a lot of the contemporary ones.
Yes,
so
we do.
That's
I'm so
saying.
Nervous.
Okay.
I'm going to embarrass myself.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Oh, like,
we
I'm waiting on you. Let me know when you start the clock.
Oh, shit. The clock starts after. So
right.
You can
and,
go.
And how much time do we have? Because we got two
Since
people
it's
today.
Two is 90 seconds.
Okay.
Woo. Let me get that ready.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Okay. I think I'm going to do this one because there's two very good
It's
ones.
Choices.
Okay. Yeah, it was. Okay.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Okay. I don't want to be better than they are. Why should I be better than they are? And better at what? Better at being a doormat? Better at being a corpse? Sometimes I just don't know. We've been demonstrating nonviolently for more than a year now. And all that's happened is that now they'll let us into that crummy library downtown, which was obsolete in 1897 and where nobody goes anyway. Who in this town reads books? For that, we paid I don't know how many thousands of dollars in fines. Jerome is still in the hospital, and we all know that Ruthie is never again going to be the swinging little chick she used to be. Big deal. Now we're picketing that great movie palace downtown where I wouldn't go on a bet. I can live without Yul Brynner and Doris Day, thank you very much. and we still can't get licensed to be electricians or plumbers. We still can't walk through the park. Our kids still can't use the swimming pools in town. We still can't vote. We can't even get registered. Is it worth it? And these people are trying to kill us, too, and we ain't even got no guns. The cops ain't going to protect us. They call up the people and tell them where we are and say, go get them. They ain't going to do nothing to you. They just dumb niggas. All right, start the clock.
We got 90 seconds.
And go.
Oh,
ask all
shit.
The questions
okay.
you need.
Okay. It sounds like mm-hmm. it is written by a black woman.
Okay.
Is it?
No.
Damn.
Okay.
But the person speaking is a black woman.
Yeah.
Actually,
this person speaking is Lorenzo, a black man.
Oh,
yes. Lord. Uh-huh. Lorenzo. Wait a minute. Lorenzo. No, I know that name.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Is it the 1950s to...
It's a little later, yes. 50s, 60s.
50s, 60s. 64. 64. Okay.
Detroit 67?
No.
Okay.
Dominique did not write Detroit 67. I said, when was it written? Not when did it take place?
And you definitely did say not a black woman.
Wait. Okay. Okay. Ruthie, Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Lorenzo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I wouldn't go to that movie theater.
Y'all got 45 seconds. Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. This is
You
difficult.
Can ask other play questions, you know.
It's not... Okay, it's written by a black man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Langston, right?
No, okay. Not Langston.
It's not...
But you're in the right avenue.
Oh, okay.
Dutch man?
Not Dutch man, but you're in the right world. You're in the right space.
Fuck!
Who's one of them friends? Who's one of the friends? Not him, but who's...
James Baldwin?
Okay, all right,
James Baldwin?
Okay.
James. The Amen Corner?
Not the Amen Corner. Keep going, 10 seconds.
Is it the Amen Corner? What is it? Oh, Pearly is coming
Five,
on.
Five, four,
oh my
three,
gosh.
Two,
oh my
one. Got my. The name of this play by Mr. James Baldwin is Blues for Mr. Charlie.
No!
I went back. That was a hard one, though.
You did
that was
go
a hard
back.
Thing is that I knew, here's the thing is that I know that fucking monologue.
Uh-huh,
it's
uh-huh.
part of all the monologue mm-hmm. books. Fucking Lorenzo, and it's
mm-hmm.
always.
That's
do
fine.
We get like partial credit? Cause I said James Baldwin.
I had to help you pull for him, but yeah. Yeah, you get that. I love
wait,
you guys.
Let's play the other game so I can try to read. I want to get back. No, what's this association game?
Oh my gosh.
What's that one? I want to do that one.
Oh my
god! I can link niggas together. God damn it! Don't do this to me. I can't go out like this.
Guys, we have like 60 seconds left. But first of all, this was a great episode. Can we say that?
It really was.
Had a fucking blast.
And before we go, I have to shout someone out.
Please shout them out.
Her name is Alexis Ward.
Hey,
Brandon
Alexis.
Brandon met her in Chicago. She saw the first preview of A Sugar in Our Wombs.
Mm-hmm.
And she listened to the podcast all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's so excited and hyped for the podcast
Aww.
That when she saw Brandon, she started crying.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
That's how much she loves the podcast.
That's like when you love so Beyonce, sweet. But you see Jay-Z.
Exactly.
You start crying because you saw Jay-Z.
Like,
and Beyonce ain't even there.
She was so excited. And like Brandon last night
Brandon
sent me
like
all
that.
These. Brandon
but
sent me all the right. Sent me all these photos of like him and her hugging,
Aww.
Her like looking like she was in tears.
Oh, shout
and she
out
said
to
she
you,
loves
sis.
Us. Alexis Ward,
yes, Alexis.
In Chicago. Shout out to you.
Shout out. That's adorable.
Amazing.
So I just wanted to give her that shout
That's
out
adorable,
before we end.
Alexis.
Shout out yes. to you, Alexis.
Well, this has been a great week.
Yes.
This has been a great episode.
Yes.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you
y'all.
So much
Thank
for being
Thank you for coming.
Here.
Applause. Gun marks.
Yes.
Gun
all
marks,
of it.
Marks.
All of it.
I'm delighted and yes. ashamed to have brought the light skin energy into
No, it's okay.
Yes.
We love the balance.
It.
We
yes,
love it.
Did.
I
love
the balance. We need it.
Balance.
We need it. Pretty
you shame. Already know.
Sustain it, bitch.
Breath control, bitch. Breath control. I am dead. I am weak. Good night.
Same here. We did it, y'all.
We did it.
We did this
Thank
episode.
You all for listening to this week's episode of Off Book by Broadway Black. Anything else he said? I don't know what he said at the end. What did he say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's it.
Okay, Chris.
And I'm lying because I just want to... Go home. So
I'm kidding.
Get out of here.
That's what he's trying to do. What you mean?
I'm fucking around.
That's what he's trying to do.
Chris with the
Nicolene. And then we just say our names to end it, right?
Right. Don, you are.
I am Donye. You already know love.
And our guest for the week is
Ian Field Stewart.
And of course, always your chocolate queen, Princess Amber Iman. We love y'all.
Bye, niggas!
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.